Yeah, I have some problem about the language, so I want to speak well English, and also I want to understand the well about the spiritual language from heaven. So I can learn the English in like a ESL course or English class, but I can learn the spiritual language in Dr. Phillips' class. So, his class gives me more inspiration and deep insight. I can go through the Bible as a window. So, like a English version, like a CEV version, New King James version, or Old King James version, or NIV version, or another lots of version within original language, Hebrew and Greek. Yeah, that gives me more like a bolt of lightning hit my brain. So I strongly recommend studying about the Hebrew language and Greek language. Will gives you more intimacy. You can understand it more, the plan of God. So during, I think, more than 3 years, I attended his class. Yeah, I'm not a good student, not A plus student, like a just tiny C plus or C minus. because he gives me a C plus because of attendance. but it always reminds me we have to study the heavenly language. Thank you, everybody. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. You gave us great chance to know about the secret of our Heavenly Father's. Please let us know your mind, your plan, and please use us as your servant, as your friend. Please be with Dr. Phillips, and please use his mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aime. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. This is a, if you wanted, a most wonderful chapter in the Bible. To me, personally. How many of you have ever been hounded with sin? How many of you have ever been hounded with sinners? All right. And how many of you have ever been hounded by the devil and demonic powers? It's going to be all over. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, 1 through the end of the evils of mankind and the beginning of eternity in bliss and righteousness and truth. All the things, all of the adjectives that describe perfection in life will be there. If you've been through a lot of hard times in your life and things like that, this will mean more to you than those that have had to sail through life with no problems. This will be really wonderful to them that have been through so much evil. All right. I want to read a couple of quotations. When I quote from somebody, I like to tell you who it is. We'll see. Wilbur M. Smith writes this about Revelation 22. All the glorious purposes of God, ordained from the foundation of the world, have now been attained. Let me read that just one more time, because this is beautiful. All the glorious purposes of God, ordained from the foundation of the world, have now been attained. The rebellion of angels and mankind, angels and mankind, demon spirits, is all finally subdued as Adonai HaAdonaim. And you don't know Hebrew. That means the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords assumes His rightful sovereignty. God, in His mercy and His kindness, has given all spirit beings and mankind sovereignty over their destiny. God has given spirits, angels, and all of mankind sovereignty over their destinies. It's a gift, but it's a very dangerous gift. Absolute, unchangeable holiness, characterized as all within the universal kingdom of God. The redeemed made so by the blood of the Lamb. In finality, all things, Dr. Carl E. Farah used to say, all things will be brought back into perfect harmony and righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ and by His mercy and His works only. The blood of the Lamb are in resurrected eternal glory. Life is everywhere. Life is everywhere. Death will never intrude again. The earth and the heavens are both renewed. Light, beauty, holiness, joy, the presence of God, the worship of God, service to Christ, likeness to Christ, all are now abiding realities. The vocabulary of man made for life here. The vocabulary of man will change in eternity. The vocabulary of mankind will change in eternity. It is incapable of truly and adequately depicting what God has prepared for those that love Him and that He loves. Remember, God does not love everyone. In universalism, Unitarianism, we see even in Baha'ism. How many of you have heard about Baha'ism? I've been to the Baha'i Gardens in Tel Aviv, Israel. It's a very beautiful place. But the doctrines are the doctrines of hell. All mankind won't go to heaven. Hell is an absolute necessity to separate good from evil. Hell is a necessity. Eric Sauer, one of the greatest writers of all time, a German. He says this about this eternity. The tears which God shall wipe away from are the blessed signs of still present pain. It's not the present sign of still pain. It much rather means that just as the tears which they had shed on account of earthly suffering will be wiped away. Each tear, by the way, in Greek. In the eternal life, so the healing leaves of the tree of life serve for the healing of the sicknesses which the nations had suffered during their earthly life but shall never suffer again in the new heaven and the new earth. These are just introductions to this Revelation chapter 22. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, everything that you saw in the Old Testament, in the 40 years that Israel wandered in the wilderness, were a type of what God's going to do with us, do for us in eternity. Manna. What did manna taste like? Huh?
Sweet dessert.
All right. It tasted like dessert. Manna tasted like dessert. You will be eating dessert every day. And you'll be able to eat it, Brother Roger, like me. How many of you have ever seen me eat anything from the sweet counter over there? Never. Cannot do that. I can't eat that. I'm hypoglycemic. If I eat sugar or something like that, my blood sugar goes up, and then it goes wham, and I'm almost in a coma. So I can't do that. Here we will have dessert every meal. What they ate was pancakes with honey on it every meal. That's what they had for breakfast. That's what Israel had for breakfast. Pancakes with honey. All the time. Now, you won't get tired of that at all in eternity. Everything's going to be like that. It's going to be like dessert. Every morning is going to be like Saturday when you're working, you know. You wake up, you don't have to get up on Saturday. You won't have to sleep in eternity. You'll just be enjoying everything for all. It's going to be like an eternal vacation. Verse number 2. Well, the water of life, the water of life. In the wilderness, they were out there stuck and they didn't have any water, and God gave them the best water that they could ever drink, because it was right straight from the hand of Jehovah, out of a rock that struck the rock, which represented Jehovah, which Jehovah is always called a rock. And Jesus in Matthew 16 and 18, it says, "You're Peter, but upon this rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to wrestle her down." Now, in this age that we live in the church age, Satan has been alive and well. Satan is done for here. I always knew where Satan was. He's just a few steps behind me in all of my ministry. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit. How many of you like fruit? All right. I have never been able to eat figs. I cannot eat bananas. I can't eat avocados. And I like the taste of all of these fruits, but I am allergic to them. It bothers me. Watermelon, all those kind of things that many people eat, I cannot eat. That just doesn't work with me. 12 kinds of fruit. This tree bearing 12 kinds of fruit. The tree of life. The tree of lives. Yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. Now, there was a time I was listening to myself preach this 35 years ago, I've learned a lot in 35 years ago. I put this tree of life in the millennium. Not in the millennium, this is the eternal age. And it was for the healing of the nations. What it is here is not for the... They're not sick. But nations have personalities, don't they? And nations have always done one thing. They've raged against each other. And fighting. I mean, how many wars are going on in the world today? Is there one nation that's not having a war with another? We're having a war with Mexico in all reality. We're at war. I mean, there's constant war. Israel and Syria. You know, we got ISIS. We got everything under the sun. We got Iran, we got Iraq, Afghanistan. Russia. We got Russia going, sticking their neck out, and over there in the Ukraine right now, they're conquering, they're hurting each other, they're grabbing for power. I told you that many times that Richard Nixon was one of the greatest histories in presidents in America. He changed the balance of power. You don't understand that. We would have been whipped a long time ago by Russia if it hadn't been for Richard Nixon. You study political science. You go up to Bakersfield College and take political science. You want to learn this stuff. Go out to Cal State. You'll learn the things that I try to teach you. That saved the world. We'd have been speaking Russian today. There was too much communism in the world. Of course, we've had problems with China. We still have problems with China. We have problems with Korea. The bad Korea. Yeah. The North. We got problems all over every angle. This tree is for the healing of those problems. They won't have any more. They won't ever rise again. This is for... The word is therapeutic. There, you go to a psychologist, you know, and they're what's called biofeedback and all this kind of stuff. This tree takes care of all of those problems. No more problems between nations. No more problems. All nations are one because they're all God's nations. Number 3. And there shall no longer be any curse. What is the word curse in Hebrew, brother? You remember? Brother Roger? Arum. A That means evil, curse, wickedness. Poneria in Greek. Poneria for virile bad evil and kakos for Adamic evil. There's not going to be an Adamic evil. Look what it is, says here. The end of the evils, kakos, poneria, arum of mankind. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him. His bride will rule with him, his bondservants shall serve him. What you do today is eternally important. You have a chance in this age to be the bride of God himself, of Christ. Israel had that chance, and forever from now on, Israel is flushed. File 13 is the bride of God. She'll get to be a servant. She's one of the servants forever. Okay? His bondservants shall serve him. They will gladly serve him. Everybody in heaven is going to be happy. The servants are going to be happy. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. He has branded them. And there shall be no longer any night. Nyctos in Greek. We get our word night right out of that. Nyctos. Nyctos. Or nyctos. What is the word for night in Hebrew? Laila. Laila. No more night. No more Laila. No more nyctos. No more night. You need night now for what? I mean, the world has messed up. Mankind has messed up God's night. I remember when I went to work right out of high school, I went to work, working all night long. You know, shift work will destroy your health, your digestive system, your sleep habits, everything. It messes you up because God made night for sleeping. But right here, we won't need any night. Shall not have any need of light or lamp of the light of the sun, because the Lord God, and that is Jehovah Elohim, shall illumine them, and he and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, and they shall reign for who's they? Who is they?
Christ and the bride.
Christ and his bride shall reign forever and ever. The difference between right now what you do with your life is being reigned with or reigning. God has offered us the opportunity to reign with him today. Or we can serve him. Israel will serve him. All of mankind in the Old Testament, except for the patriarchs, they have a special place there, shall serve him. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Pistis, pistios, pistos, faithful, full of faith. That's what faithful means. And true. And true means what? Aletheia. What does aletheia mean? No shadow. Everything's in the light. No lies, no blasphemy, no perjury. And the Lord God, and he keeps saying, John keeps using Hebraisms, doesn't he? Full of Hebraisms. And Jehovah Elohim, of the spirits. Look at that. Of the spirits of the prophets. The spirits. What is a prophet? You know what a prophet is? Prophetio. Prophetio. What does it mean, Sharon?
To speak ahead.
To speak ahead of time. These prophets, how did they speak ahead of time? Last Wednesday night I talked about it. I talked about when I used to train horses. You can train horses and make them move without anybody knowing you're making them move. When you go out into the cutting horse rings, we have cutting horse contests right out there by us. Those guys wear bat wing chaps, real big chaps. You know why they wear bat wing chaps? You know why they wear bat wing chaps? You know why they do that, Chris? So they can't see them giving the horse the cue. Yeah, it's cheating, you know. Not hardly any of them were. I tell you what, the slightest movement in that saddle will trigger that horse. You don't need a bridle on the horse. There are bridleless cutting horse contests. They go out there and they take the bridle off. And guess what? You're just giving them a little this, give them a little that with your knee, and you're getting over there just a little bit, the slightest movement with the bottom of your foot. The way you set in the saddle, just move just a little bit, and that horse knows you want to go there. I remember, and I've used this illustration several times, but it's fitting. I trained a horse, a little poco horse, about 35, 40 years ago. His name was Handy. I named him Handy, a little bay horse. I trained him thorough. He was broke. He could swim a river. He could cut a cow. He was a cow horse. You could rope off of him. You could do whatever you wanted to do, shoot off of him. Anything. The horse was broke. That's what I call a broke horse. And a guy wanted to trade me a brand new Oldsmobile for that horse. So I said, well, let's go out there. He wanted a horse. You could use him in the show ring, whatever. You could do anything with that horse. Go out there and cut cattle with him. Whatever. Anyway, so we went out to Hackentack, and I went out to the arena because I used to give equestrian lessons out there. And I got on the horse, and I just everything. I did figure eight, serpentine, lead changes. You know, lead changes, a horse will lead with his right lead, and he'll lead with his left lead, and you can make a horse change his lead by just leaning in the saddle. And I did that. Never touched the reins. Didn't have to touch the reins. Had a spade bit in his mouth, but never touched the reins. And when I came up to him, and I ran the horse right at him, and I said, ho, just like that, and the horse slid right up to him. He said, wow. I was going circles, figure eights, everything else around him, rolled him, spun him right and spun him left and everything else. He said, man, what a horse. Like a machine. I said, yeah, he is. I said, I want you to ride him. I said, have you ridden a horse before? Oh, yeah, I rode horses in Texas. I'm from Texas. Yeah, Texas. Texas. Brother Madden used to say the great state of Texas. You don't like that? And he said, I never saw much come out of Texas of the good. Anyway, he got on that horse. I said, now set straight in that saddle. And I said, you can do anything I did with him. And he said, I can ride horses. He took off down there, and he leaned too far to the left, and the horse turned out from under him, and he flopped, hit the ground. The horse just turned out from underneath it. And he got up, and he said, man, that horse has got power steering. You know, like this. I said, I never rode anything like that before. I said, no. I said, this is a different story. So I had to give him some riding lessons. The prophets were guided like that. The Spirit of God went to them and guided them to write down in their words, in their own vocabulary, exactly what he wanted to say. The prophets. And sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. Look at this, shortly take place. That's the word taxi, you know, quickly take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, this is the last book of the Bible. This is the last book. There's no more. This is the final revelation that we have. When this book was completed, all of the gifts of God basically ceased for themselves. Middle voice. Paul ceased for themselves. John even ceased being an apostle in all reality. I mean, all of these people always looked at John as an apostle. According to historical records, John lived to be 138 years old. How many of you knew that? Lived to be 138 years old, and he was a pastor of the church at Ephesus, and that's where Mary was. Mary, Jesus' mother, was there, and her grave is there. According to the Catholic Church, of course, there's a whole bunch of hogwash that has all kinds of else happening, but you read the historical records, and John was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he was so old that they carried him on a stretcher to church. He could no longer walk or anything. And he would make these short messages, and according to the historical records, that he bored them to death. He kept preaching the same sermon over and over and over again. You know what he said? Love one another. Love each other like God loved you. In church capacity, of course. Of course, you know, he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Those were scathing letters, the acts of the apostates, the scoundrels, Diotrephes the rat. he's laying it out just plain. You know why? Because these people stood against the deity of Jesus Christ. Let's go on now, John, the 22nd chapter. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the Revelation of John. Blessed is the one who heeds the words of this prophecy and this book. Verse number 8, and I, John, see there, Dr. John, he's talking to you too. You're in here. That name is. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel, and he showed me that it showed me these things, or who had showed me these things. And he said to me, Do not that. I am your fellow servant of yours and of your brethren and the prophets and those who heed the words of this book. Worship God only. Who is the God we're going to worship? Jesus. That's the image of God. We'll worship Jesus, and we'll worship the Father, and we'll worship the Spirit of God through Him, because He is the physical image of the invisible God. He is two parts software and one part hardware, just like you are. Your hardware is your body. Your software is your spirit and your soul. Verse number 10. And he said to me, Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Don't hide it. Do not hide it. The time is near. What is near? You think the second coming of the Lord is near? I think it actually is. But John did back then. And in the mind of God, it was very near. Just think about that. In the mind of God, it was very near. And let the one who does wrong still do wrong. If you're an ungodly brother, just keep on being ungodly. That's right. If you're ungodly, just keep on being ungodly. The one who's doing wrong, just keep on doing wrong. If that's what you want to do, just have at it. You have a sovereignty to do whatever you wish with your eternal destiny, but remember, it's eternal. Hell's a long time. Eternity's a long time. Let him still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. What kind of filthy is it talking about? Spiritually filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. What is the word holy? What is in Hebrew, Brother Roger? Kadesh. What is in Hebrew? What is it in English? I mean, not English, but Greek. Hagios. Hagios literally means not of earth. When you do things not of earth, when I tell you to go out and do something eternal, that's things not of earth. Not of earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render every man according to what he has done. It really matters. Salvation is not a religion of works. Salvation, soteriology, has no works in it. I want you to understand that. Salvation is by the work of Jesus Christ only. You can't get to heaven for anything you do wrong or do right. Did you know that? Your works has nothing to do with your eternal placement in heaven. But what you do after you're saved has got a lot to do with where you're going to be in heaven and what you're going to do in heaven for eternity. 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 Eon, tanion, eon, and olam. I was listening to one of my old tapes, and I forgot something. I can learn and listen to myself preach. I was listening to myself preach 40 years ago. And I learned something. And I was pretty dumb 40 years ago. I was very ignorant. But I was quoting Brother Hubbard. And this is one of the things that he said that I have not brought out at all because I forgot it. Olam is the word for eternity, and olam means think as far as you can go and imagine as far as you can go. That's where olam or eternity begins. Ace tony on. It means the age is upon the ages. But Brother Hubbard told me when I was teaching Hebrew, he said the Hebrew really doesn't have a real good word for eternity. Boom. It's olam, but you know the real good word for eternity is barashith. He told me. It means in beginnings, doesn't it? But it also means in eternity's past. In some eternity, in one of the eternities past, it says in Genesis 1:1, He created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. In one of the eternities. It was in the eternal past. But what we're talking about today is going to be eternity future, and there is not going to be time there at all. Time will no more exist. I forgot about the Barashith thing. Barashith. Behold, I'm coming quickly. I'll render every man according to his what he has done. These people are all saved people here. There aren't any lost people here, okay? No lost people. Saved people, what you do does matter. And how you do it according to his operating manual. A lot of people out in the world today serving God in churches that aren't God's. You know what? If I'm going to err, let me err on the safe side. That's what my teacher once said. Everybody knows that Baptists go all the way back to Christ. Most educated people know that. That all, even the early Catholics will say, these were primitive Christians. They're not Catholics like we are today. They're primitive Christians. You know what all primitive Christians were? Baptists by doctrine and practice. Okay. So then they have to go back there to about 300 AD and become Baptist. Okay? We know that. I'm going to align myself with somebody that is real Baptist. And I'm going to get some real baptism because I think that's really important too. It does matter if you're a lost man what you do with your life. Did you know that? Because there's degrees in heaven. I mean, degrees in hell. There's degrees in heaven also. But there are degrees in hell. There are some people that are lost in hell. It's going to be less, more tolerable in some places. Jesus said it would be more tolerable for some of those that came from Sodom and Gomorrah in hell than those people that rejected him in Nazareth and Capernaum and Galilee and Judea. All of these people, they had God the Son right there walking among them and they were rejecting his word. In Sodom, they had lout. That's how you say Lot in Hebrew. Lout, like louse. Boy, he was a lousy Christian, wasn't he? They had the angels for a short moment. They were there. He said in verse 13, he said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. He, in Hebrew, that is Aleph and Tau. The Aleph and Tau in the Hebrew alphabet is the first and last letters. The Alpha and Omega in the Greek alphabet is the first and last letter. What would this be translated into English? I am the A and I am the Z. I am the first and I am the last. I am the first and I am the last. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Somebody go grab that real quick for me. Isaiah 44 and verse 6 and bring it up here and read it. I'm not looking at you, Bonnie.
She has a Bible.
She has a Bible? Do you think we could ever get her up here? Nope. All right. Alpha and Omega. Who's got Isaiah 44 and verse 6? Does your daughter... Okay, Chris, come up here. Read that. This is the same thing.
It says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the
okay.
Lord...
Now, hold on just a little. Thus says the Lord. That's
yes.
Jehovah.
Okay.
The King of Israel. All right. The King of Israel. The Malach of Israel. Okay. And this is who? Jesus.
Okay.
It's Jesus. Okay, that's who it is. Jesus was the King of Israel? Sure he was. All right.
Okay. And the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts.
All right, the Lord of hosts. According to James in the New Testament, James called Jesus the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Okay, there. Okay. This is all Jesus.
I am the first and I am the last. besides me, there is no God.
That's right. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses, this is one of the Jehovah Witnesses' pet texts. They better learn out what it says. Learn what it says in that. Thank you very much, Christine. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. 14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life. How are you going to get into heaven? How are you going to get to heaven, Brother John? Dr. John, how do you get to heaven? By salvation through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Nothing you can do is going to get to any place else. Okay? And it's by His works only. By the works of Christ is the only way we're going to get to heaven. Okay? That's it. Nothing else. Not plus. We got all this Arminianism in the world that just think they've got to be saved and just keep on getting saved. That is absolute blasphemy. It's blasphemy. You want to talk about blasphemy? That's blasphemy. What are you going to do that surpasses the work of Christ? What can you ever do that would surpass the work of Jesus Christ and His blood? You think you're better than Him? That's blasphemy. I get those people sometimes. I get a little angry with them. Because, you know what? They are blaspheming my Savior. Blaspheming my Savior. All right. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. The city is what? Now, we looked at that city just last weekend. How big is that city? Remember how big that city is? According to how many feet a stadia was, or a furlong was. Remember, it all went from 582 to what is a modern one? 660 feet. At 660 feet, it's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It can go all the way back to 1,300 miles by 1,300 miles, but I think God looked through time and saw that in the 12th century they would change what an acre was and what a stadia was and what a furlong was, and it was 660 feet because that's a perfect cube regardless. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, and we looked and we saw how last week we looked how many square miles was on each floor. And how many square feet there was in that city, and how many apartments and how many stories it was, all the way from 396,000 stories to 600 plus thousand stories high. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. Look at that. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. For all the churches, for all the real New Testament churches. Guy asked me, he said, well, if you weren't a Baptist, what would you be? And I said, ashamed. Because everybody that isn't is going to be ashamed. You're going to blush there. That's really important. The Bible made me a Baptist and history made me a Baptist. That's what made me a Baptist. You know, my family are made up of Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Pentecostals. And Presbyterians.
You
know. Huh?
What happened to you?
I'm the black sheep. My stepfather one time told me, he said, if you weren't the black sheep of the family, you'd be like all the rest. And that you don't want to be. My angel testified to these things for the churches. This is very important. This is a church. This letter here is a universal church letter. The New Testament written to churches, not to lost mankind. It's not their mail. It's addressed to churches. And the churches are the administrator of God's kingdom in the world today. What a church letter. I am the root and the offspring of David. What is the word root in Hebrew? What's the word root? Huh? What is it? Brother Mike?
I don't know.
Okay. Nazar. Which the word Nazareth come from? Where was Jesus? Where was his origin? Nazareth. That's where he was raised. Where was he born? Bethlehem, which means what? House of food, the house of bread. Okay? The root, an offspring of David. The bright and the morning star. God created Lucifer to be the light of the world. How many Edens were there? Two Edens. The first Eden was what? The throne room of the material universe. And you can see how it was built. Go to Isaiah and Ezekiel and look at Eden. Look how beautiful Eden was. That was the throne room of Hillel. In Latin, his name is Lucifer. Hillel in Hebrew. It comes over, the name of the writer of the Gospel of Luke was Lucifer. Did you know that? Luke's name, his full name was Lucifer. Luke for short. Luke means Lucifer. It's not a bad name. Lucifer was never a bad name. But Lucifer changed his name to Satan and the destroyer. A bad Apollyon. Many of those things. The devil, Diabolos. The bright and the morning star. Now, verse number 17. I want you to translate this for me. The Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And the what? Translate this correctly. Well, no. The Spirit and the what? And the true churches of Jesus Christ, the bride. The Spirit and the true churches of Jesus Christ say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. This is something else. This is the last book of the Bible. We're talking about the book of Revelation. We're not talking about any other book in the Bible. Okay, we're talking about the book of Revelation. In a secondary sense, it might mean any other book of the Bible. But primarily, it's talking about the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is extremely important. It's the apocalypse to Esau. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the book that says Jesus wins. It's the book that unfolds who Jesus is to us. Revelation, the 19th chapter, tells us that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Again here, John repeats himself over here where he said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. He said that in the first chapter. He said it in the 19th chapter. Now he's saying in the 22nd chapter again. He repeats himself over and over and over again. We're studying, on Wednesday night, we're studying the Gospel of John from Greek. And we're in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. John will make a statement, and then he will over and over and over again keep repeating that statement all the way through. All the way through. Marilyn, that coffee pot is really loud.
The pot's been cool.
Okay.
He wants to talk.
Anyway, over and over and over again, John repeats himself. John, the third chapter, he repeats John, the first chapter. John, the eighth chapter, he repeats John, the first chapter, and John, the third chapter. John, the tenth chapter, he repeats John, the first chapter, and John, the third chapter. John, the twelfth chapter, he repeats John, the first chapter, and John, the third chapter, and John, the eighth chapter, and John, the tenth chapter. He just keeps driving home the same message over and over and over again. Why? He wants you to get the point. It's extremely important. Sometimes I repeat over and over and over again things. You got to get that point. If you don't get that point, you can't go anyplace else. You always go from the known to the unknown. You have to have a foundation before you can go anyplace else. Brother David, on Wednesday night, he got up here and he talked about the Bible being a great big rock, and he had a little bitty guy with a little bitty chisel and a little bitty hammer, trying to figure out what's in there. And he said he came to the classes, and over time he finally has got it. That big rock's manageable now. And he can figure out what's inside of that rock. You ought to have the right tools. This is the tools. You need these tools. I testify to everyone who hears the words of these prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Who added to this? Tell me in history. I want to know names. Who has added to this book?
Joseph Smith.
Huh? Joseph Smith. Who else? Mary Ellen White. Amy McPherson. Who else?
Muhammad.
Who else?
Sunny Moon.
Yeah. Charles Taze Russell. Joseph Smith. What have they done to the world? What have they done to the world? False religion always persecutes the truth, doesn't it? Either verbally or physically and dramatically. They try to damage the truth. That's evil. That's what evil does. Verse number 19. We're almost finished with this book. I don't know how many times have I taught the book of Revelation at Valley Baptist Church? 6 or 7 times? I don't know how many times. A lot of times. I'm about to do it again. About to finish. If anyone takes away from the words of this book and the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. What in the world is this talking about? You know that tree of life was efficient to save and provide for every human being that ever lived in this world. This is what we call unlimited atonement right here. This is what we call unlimited atonement. That tree of life had provided life for everyone that was ever born in the world. Everyone. But what took their part of life away from them? What took it away? What took it away? What took it away from Muhammad? His epileptic seizures that he went into and had these dreams. Epilepsy, you know, that's a disease. That wasn't a problem, but he'd come up with these ideas. Where do you think he got those ideas? From the demon spirits in the intellectual realm that put it down. And that man was so ignorant, he was absolutely illiterate. Muhammad didn't write down anything. But he was a good talker, and he kept telling these students. This is what's so funny. You know, the Islam says that the Bible is not accurate. But the Quran is perfect. Without flaw. But yet the Quran was never transmitted by Muhammad at all. And they didn't write the Quran until basically much of it until after he was dead. These people had listened to him teach and they wrote it all down. It's very easy to memorize. Dr. Benjamin Marcus Bogard said something a long time ago that is absolutely true. A lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. And boy, false religion spreads like wildfire with gasoline on it. It does. And people will give their lives so easily for false religions. They do that because they think they got to do it. God shall take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which is written in this book. Verse number 20. And he who testifies to these sayings, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That 19th verse there is an absolute corresponds to John, 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John 2 and 2. Someone come and bring me 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John 2 and 2 real quickly, and we'll finish this class because I have to be in two places at once. I have to be 20 miles that way in a few minutes and be preaching. Dr. John, you got that? 1 John 2 and 2. Very beautiful. 1 John 2 and 2. You got that ready, Dr. John? Run up here real quick. All right, there he is. Boy, do you see that athlete?
2 and 2.
Yes.
And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the whole world.
That's what we call unlimited atonement. The atonement was made. But it is not efficacious. It's efficacious only to those that believe. You had a part. Jesus Christ died for their sins. But it's not efficacious unless you ask the Lord to apply it. It takes you. It takes you. You have to apply it. All right, Brother David, are you going to come up here and do something here real quick? I got to lock this place up and run away.
I'll do it real fast.